Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thank you, Steve Bertrand. It is 2:39. This is WGN Radio. I'm John Williams. Ro Khan's around the corner. Ro with Anna DeVlantis. Will the beautiful weekend weather stick around? Tom Skilling has the latest forecast. And oh, they'll have a whole bucket of things to talk about. Steve, I know you did the news and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, what was your favorite part, John?
Well, just what's the Sally Yates thing going on?
Well, so she's on Capitol Hill now. She's begun testimony, and she basically said that she told the Trump administration early on that she thought, and it's just going on now, but that she thought that the general, the former general,
Flynn,
had been compromised,
yeah,
and was subject to blackmail. Let me see if I can find a quote here for you. We haven't heard, I mean, I don't have the quotes yet. No,
but thing is ongoing, right?
Yeah. Quote from Sally Yates, we believe that General Flynn was compromised. Now, remember, she has an interesting sort of role in all this because she was essentially, she was the acting attorney general.
Right.
Because when a new administration comes in, the bosses go out and the staff sort of take over. So Sally Yates was acting attorney general, and she ended up being fired by the president when she refused to enforce one of his travel bans. So there was all of that going on as well.
So you think that compromises her view about General Flynn?
No, I'm just saying some people were calling her former attorney general, and, you know, technically I think she was, but she was an acting attorney general. I mean, she was never going to be around for much longer anyway. I'm not dismissing or any of it. I'm just trying to, you know, put in context what her position is there. Are you buying it, or what's your issue?
Well, I think everything you said is true, but I'm just wondering what the implication is. So by virtue of that, she's an outgoing, well, her boss was outgoing, and
right,
she's
served
there at the...
I'm not trying to make any implication, but I guess if I was, it wouldn't be like Trump firing Jeff Sessions, who was his chosen, sworn-in attorney general.
Right.
This was someone, a high staff, but a staff member, who had assumed the acting attorney general's post as the transition took place.
Well, at the end of the day, the question is she knowledgeable in telling the truth about General
absolutely.
Flynn?
Right. Yeah, I'm not disputing anything like that.
Okay, so that's ongoing and will probably be a topic more for Roe after 3. Did you see Mary Wisniewski's story in the front page of the Chicago Tribune? Few curbs for cities' distracted drivers. So he said, what is the number of distracted driver tickets written in Chicago? And the number, it looks like a typo, doesn't it?
I was reading that while I was driving in this morning.
Sorry, Mary. She's sitting right here. She's right there and she can hear this. How are you, Mary?
I'm okay. Don't do that while you're driving.
But that's the problem. We'll get to that in just a moment. But if I may, you said that in 2014, there were almost 46,000 distracted driving tickets written. In 2015, there were almost 26,000. Granted, 20,000 fewer, but still 26,000 distracted driving citations. In 2016, the next full year for which we have numbers, there were 186. Boy, if you're one of those people, wah-wah. Why are you making that concerned face?
Well, it's a huge drop, and
it's a huge drop. It means they quit writing tickets.
They've all but given up enforcing this particular city ordinance.
Why?
And this, how it was explained to me by Chicago Police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi, is that in 2015 there was a change in the law that made police have to treat citations under the cell phone ordinance the same as other moving violations, which means that they now have to go to traffic court and appear when the person who's going up there with their ticket is appearing. They used to just be able to not appear and the tickets could be upheld without them.
Like a parking ticket or
right.
something?
Right. So this is like requiring more of a police officer's time and,
right.
and attention.
So for that, he's got to now go to court as well. What a hassle.
Right. So obviously the Chicago police have a lot of other demands on them right now. They've lost manpower and they've basically dropped off and by this huge amount, just an enormous amount on this issue. They do say they still care about it and they still want to enforce it.
If in 2016 they weren't enforcing distracted driving laws, Did we see an increase in crashes or accidents as a result?
We saw an increase in crashes nationally. We saw a 14% increase in fatalities over 2 years, which is the highest jump in more than 50 years nationally. And we
overall, or just due to distracted driving?
Overall, and
really?
It's been linked to distracted driving. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration looked at 2014-2015, where there was a big jump, and they found that deaths from crashes involving distracted driving were up 9%, which is more than for unrestrained passengers, speeding, drunken driving. This is going up with a bullet.
I would be surprised if it went up at all for, say, unrestrained drivers. I think we got the message, wear your seatbelt. Young people and old people, everybody wears a seatbelt. I think we got the message about drunk driving, at least better than we did 20 years ago. We know not to drink and drive, have designated driver, take an Uber. But I don't think we got the message about texting while driving.
Right. People who are experts on this, including someone I quoted, Deborah Herzman, the CEO of the National Safety Council, said that people are very complacent about distracted driving. Everyone thinks they can do it safely. Everyone thinks, well, I made it home okay. I must be a great driver.
Everybody can do it safely. That's the problem, though. I'll take back what I said a moment ago, that we got the message about, we didn't get the message about distracted driving. I think we got the message. We know it's against the law. We know it's distracting. But we also believe that we can do it. And we can. Most people do not get in crashes. And most people text while they drive. I mean, that's the conundrum here, isn't it?
Right, it is. And, you know, people, you may think that you're a good driver when you're, you know, texting and driving all the way home and you don't get into an accident, but the person behind you who sees you weaving all over the road may not think so. And there have been spectacular, horrible crashes involving distracted driving. There was just that crash in Texas where the guy plowed into a bus full of church group and killing all these
people. He was texting?
Because he was texting, yeah.
The bus driver.
No, not the bus driver. A guy who was riding in a pickup truck and crashed into them. So it is the cause of spectacular crashes. You're taking your eyes off the road for an extended period of time.
And, you know, can you imagine how we change that?
One of the ways that we can change that is through technology. And one of the things I brought up in my article is a technology that a company is working on called a textilizer, which will be able to look at your phone's operating system after you've been in a crash. They'll be able to plug in your phone and see if you were just texting before or on the phone before a crash.
Okay, so we can prove that that was responsible, but that doesn't keep you from doing it.
It would keep you from doing it if you had the same kind of enormous penalties that you have against drunken driving, if they catch you with it.
But then that's the issue, isn't it? I mean, textilizer notwithstanding, what we need to do is then if we catch you with a textilizer, or we just observe you breaking that law, the penalty needs to be a lot bigger.
Right, right.
What do you guess on that?
Right now, the fines are pretty small. It's $50 to $150 for the state ordinance, $90 to $500 for the municipal ordinance. The fines for drunk driving are quite large, and you can get your license suspended. So the higher the penalties are going to be, the more of a deterrent it's going to have.
I get that. But, you know, this is my point. I know I sound like I'm being obstreperous here for no reason, but I'm not sure that everybody wants technology that keeps them from texting while driving. They want technology that keeps you from texting while driving,
right.
But I still want to check my phone on a sales call. And I think people would be sorry if either the technology kept them from doing it or if the penalty was so stiff that they themselves quit doing it. I don't even know if they'd quit doing it. I think they'd keep doing it and pay enormous fines, and then they'd be unhappy. Either way, I'm not persuaded that people want to stop texting and driving.
One thing that could persuade them is, you know, besides worrying about the fines or worrying about causing crashes and killing people, is a financial incentive. Some insurance companies are using telematics, an application that you put into your phone that tells you whether you're being a safe driver, whether you're braking harshly, whether you're using your cell phone, whether you're, you know, making, you know, sudden starts and stops,
weaving.
And I don't know if they can, but, you know, it uses your phone to do that. So it's actually using your phone to help you keep from misusing your phone. And you get breaks on your insurance costs for using that. And that can be an incentive.
Really?
Maybe people won't recycle if they're doing it out of the goodness of their hearts, but they will recycle if they get a break on their garbage bill. It's that same idea.
That's an interesting point. But do you suppose there's any interest in, rather than penalizing us for using these things, make us better users of them? How about if we had technology that better enabled us to text while driving, voice to text, hands free, stuff like that.
Unfortunately, John, the research suggests that hands free is not that much better than hands on. You're in the same level of distraction. When they do test, they find that people, using the hands free application are just as distracted, or almost just as distracted, as people who are actually typing into their phones. So it's a big problem. I think one of the things that might have to change is just the culture. That when you're on the phone with somebody and they say, hey, I'm in my car, you can say, hey, I don't really want to talk to you while you're in your car because you might get into a crash. But that's going to be a big culture change.
Remember the episodes of Mad Men where they'd be leaving the cocktail party or maybe a dinner party at Don Draper's house. And then his boss, Roger, would take a cocktail for the road, have one for the road. And nobody blanched
right,
at that.
Right. And think of, that wasn't that long ago.
Okay,
and there was that big of a culture change.
Right. So imagine now if when I called you and you said, I'm driving, I would go, oh, my God, hang up. And I would admit it the same way I would not give you a drink to drive.
Right.
We ain't there yet.
No, we aren't. But I think that, there's a lot of different prongs to this. There's public education. You see this public service ads. Was this text really worth it? You see a car splattered all over the road. And you have education of young people. They have to get it through driver's ed classes. It has to become culturally unacceptable. And more fines and more tickets could help, too. But, of course, if the police don't have the resources to do it, we're not going to get it.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. One, my only guess is if you're just going to fight fire with fire, that A, you've got to make it easier for the cops to write these tickets. They don't have to go to court. And number two, the fine has to be $1,000. And then people would still get them the first time, but I don't think they'd get them the second time. But I still think that they want to text, and it would be nice if we could find a way for them to do it. You got one more minute? You may have a question or comment for Mary. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. This is WGN. Mary Wisneski's in our studio. She is the transportation writer for your Chicago Tribune. In her page one story, Few Curbs for Cities Distracted Drivers, just talks about in the Tribune how few tickets the city's writing. It's too complicated for the cops these days. It burns up too much time to go to court. Off the air, you said that in Poland, what have they done?
In Poland, they have very strict laws against drunk driving, and which has really changed the culture over there. It's 0.02%, and people just won't dare to go out in their cars when they maybe had even a little bit to drink because they're afraid they're going to lose their licenses and go to jail.
They're probably East Europeans. They're big drinkers, right?
There tends to be more problems with that there, and they've really changed the culture with these with these laws. The phrase you hear over there is "Jestem samochodem." I'm in the car. I can't drink.
So the moral of the story is as addicted as people are to alcohol, so too are they their phones. But if the penalty is severe enough, then the driver won't do it.
Right. That there has to be, and that can help change the culture. It's not just education. There's all these different prongs. It's education, it's enforcement. And the deterrent of enforcement is really big. And this is what's lacking right now with distracted driving here.
Hey, Terry, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, great topic. I just had a question. When I was a kid, I built a radio, an RF jammer, out of a garage door remote, and I could jam all the radio signals in my house. I'm wondering why somebody doesn't invent something that we can put on every stoplight that within 100 yards of that stoplight jams your phone so you can't send text.
Wow, I think that would have some major consequences for emergency vehicles and stuff, so that might be the problem with that. It would interfere with emergency communications.
I guess so. I think the other problem, I like that, and that's a common consideration. Let's find a way to make it impossible through some sort of jamming technology. Isn't the problem with that, too, though? What about the passenger? If you're driving, are we going to restrict my ability to use my cell phone? And how does the jamming technology know who's behind the wheel?
Right. And a lot of it, they're just leaving up to the individual right now.
I'm out of time. All of our phone lines are ringing, and I know that you'll keep writing about this. Let's make more time for calls next time you come into the studio, particularly when you figure this out.
Okay.
When you have this solution.
I'll make sure I'll have the solution for everybody, and it'll just solve all the problems. Thanks very much for having me on.
How can I follow you on the Twitter, Mary? Do you tweet much?
I am at Mary Wiz Chicago.
W-I-Z. Mary Wiz Chicago, and it's Mary Wisneski, transportation writer for the Chicago Tribune. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Nice to see you. Thank you.